Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, which is Quinquagesima, or the Sunday next before Lent, I've titled Of Charity, and it's from the sermon archive of the late Archbishop John T. Cahoon, Jr. He first gave it back in February 22nd of 1998. And again, it's in the first person. It's a nice one. One of the few relatively light moments in Princess Diana's funeral came when Prime Minister Tony Blair read today's New Testament epistle. There is nothing intrinsically amusing about the 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, to be sure, but after the reading was over, one of the commentators I was listening to asked the person with him, "What did you think of the Prime Minister's address?" The other one replied, "It seemed perfectly appropriate under the circumstances." As I recall, Tony Blair did not introduce what he thought, what he read in a proper way. But even so, the fact that the commentators did not recognize this well-known Bible passage seemed at least mildly remarkable. Blair read it in the King James translation, but at every point the word charity came up, he substituted the word love. That really is not much help toward understanding what St. Paul is talking about. The fact is that both of these words carry connotations that make it difficult to see what he means. When we hear charity, we think giving money away. Love can mean so many things that it does not clear things up much either. St. Paul is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He has just got done describing healing and prophesying and speaking in tongues and other such things. He has taught very clearly that those gifts are not for everybody. If you have one of them, one or more of them, that is great, so long as you use them to help build up the church rather than as a way of calling attention to yourself. He concludes the argument by saying that the three most important gifts of the Holy Ghost are available to everybody just for the asking. Those gifts are faith, hope, and charity. Charity is the greatest of the three because charity is the nature of God. What St. Paul means by charity is the way Jesus always acts towards us. How does he act? He acts always for our good, in our best interests. His dying on the cross to free us from the power of sin, Satan, and death, and to guarantee us never-ending forgiveness is the most dramatic example of that, of course. But we can learn to see that everything that has happened to us is a way God shows us his love, his charity. As St. Paul puts it in Romans, all things work together for good for those who love God. God shows us his love, his charity, and what happens in our lives. St. John says, since God loves us, we should love one another. That summarizes Christian morality, Christian ethical behavior. It means always to act for the good of the other person. Jesus acts for our good. We should act for each other's good. If that were easy to do, we would not need to be reminded constantly to pray for the strength to do it. We're inclined naturally to act for our own good and not necessarily to consider the good of anyone else. But Jesus uses that natural tendency precisely to tell us how we should act. He says, you love yourself. You do what is best for yourself without having to think about it. Your job as a Christian is to choose to act that way toward everyone you meet. The Golden Rule tells us to act towards others as we would want them to act toward us, for our own good. The only fully Christian way to evaluate our relationships toward other people is to ask the question, am I acting for this person's good, or am I just using him in some way to promote my own interests? We will discover that we have few completely charitable relationships. I find that people are particularly likely to have difficulty with the concept of Christian love when they are in a situation where a friend or a family member is behaving badly. I often find myself saying, do you think it is the best thing for him to allow him to persist in acting in this destructive way? People assume far too much that love means no correcting, no judging bad activity, no suggesting that some things are right and others wrong. It is time to get ready for Lent. The prayer book tells us to fast on Ash Wednesday and on Good Friday, and to cut back on food intake the other days of Lent. Lent is the obvious time to get more serious about other regular disciplines of the Christian life. Regular church attendance, regular prayer, regular Bible study, regularly giving money away. We have plenty of Bible study classes. I will be giving instruction about prayer at the Quiet Day next Saturday. And I'm always glad to talk to any of you privately. But St. Paul reminds us that no Christian discipline is an end in itself. The point of Christian discipline is to build up our charity, to make us appreciate the charity God shows us, and to make us want to show God's charity to other people. God evaluates the quality of our lives on the basis of how much we love in the Christian sense. None of us does terribly well at it. That is why Jesus had to die. But that is not an excuse for not praying for the grace to love more. As St. John asks, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.